This is Politics on Parade here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. Since we're in the holiday season and the final run-up to Christmas, let's start with some good political news. Seems like the only time that the Supreme Court makes a good decision is when they decide not to decide. A lower court blocked Arizona's strict restrictions on drug-induced abortions. These new rules would have prohibited the use of the drugs after the second week of pregnancy instead of the ninth, even though there is no science for that. The Arizona rules would have forced women to take the approved doses only at clinics, and they would have had to take them in higher doses than are currently recommended by doctors for safety and efficacy. These higher doses aren't really particularly good for women. And with the 7-week nonsensical for no reason other than because we say so rule, that would have required women who could have had a drug-induced abortion to then go, and they'd have to have a surgical abortion, which, while still safe, better to have a drug-induced abortion. So the rules were just crazy and nonsensical. The Supreme Court decided not to hear the case from the state. Good news for the women in Arizona. In what has been dubbed the Cromnibus spending bill that the Congress has just passed, there's a lot of pretty bad stuff in there, but there is one gift for Peace Corps volunteers. In the past, if you were raped, you couldn't get an abortion. Now, thanks to this bill and a provision in the bill, abortion coverage will be available for Peace Corps volunteers. But you have to get raped first, or you have to be at risk of dying. If you just want an abortion, well, you're still out of luck. But, you know, good news for raped Peace Corps volunteers. Speaking of Congress, funny news, Ted Cruz tried to play some political games and kept Congress in session longer than it would have been, and that gave Democrats in Congress more time to get some of the things they wanted done. They managed to confirm 59 Obama nominations, including a dozen judges with lifetime appointments. But here's the really good news. One of those judges was not Michael Boggs. He was very controversial. He was only submitted by Obama in a deal made with Republicans that he would submit this guy. But he was not somebody who should have had a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. He was somebody who was supportive of a bill that would have published the names of abortion doctors online. He supports a permanent federal ban on same-sex marriage that would affect every state. He would have been bad news for women. Now he's just yesterday's news. This batch of judges is probably one of the most diverse in history, including Texas's first openly gay federal judge. They also managed to finally get through a surgeon general. That position has been vacant for 17 months, basically because Republicans blocked specifically Vivek Murthy because he had the audacity to suggest that maybe guns are a public health issue, because, you know, they put holes in people and people die. Where he will stand on reproductive health issues, we don't know. There's a lot of good he could do, such as promoting HPV vaccinations. I'm guessing he'll probably be very positive for women's health issues. Having a surgeon general is better than not having one. And some good news in Florida. Federal judge there threw out their same-sex marriage ban and said that they had until January 5th so that the state would have time to appeal. Well, the state asked for an extension. The judge said no. And there's a good chance that come January 5th, people can start to get married who happen to have the same equipment in the state of Florida. Okay, now to the bad news. We spent a short amount of time in Missouri, and while we were there, we just referred to the state as Misery. In that state, a Republican state lawmaker has proposed a bill that would require women who wanted abortions to get notarized consent from the baby's father. Now, there are some exceptions. If the baby's father is a rapist, and it, of course, would have to be legitimate rape, then you can get around it. But if the baby's father is abusing you and beating you, sorry, you still got to get his permission. State Representative Rick Bratton said he was inspired to create this law because when he went to get a vasectomy, he had to get his wife to sign consent. That's not a law. That's just a policy that some hospitals have. A policy which I think they shouldn't be allowed to have. Men should have control over their own bodies just as much as women do. And then there's Texas, which is a thing unto itself. For just crazy politicians, you're not going to find more in quantity or in their dedication to the crazy. Well, now they have a Texas Attorney General, who is now going to be the next governor in that state. And there was an investigation done by RH Reality Check. What they wanted to find out was what was going on over the summer. The Texas Attorney General fought very hard to uphold the extreme anti-abortion laws they put in place with the intent of wiping out the availability of abortions in that state, and pretty much wiping out women's clinics to boot, which they have done. Not much left in that state. What RH Reality Check discovered was the name of the puppet master behind the scenes pulling the strings. His name is Vincent M. Rue. He makes money as a consultant to states that are trying to deny women access to abortion. He's often described as a psychotherapist, but actually he has a master's degree in social work and a PhD in human development and family studies. And he had a marriage and family therapy clinic. But what he's known for is his dishonesty. Probably the most famous thing he's known for is inventing the idea of post-abortion syndrome. That's the whole idea that's been stressed very strongly, that abortion causes mental illness and should be banned. But that's not true. Study after study after study shows nothing to that. What he does is coordinate witnesses for attorney generals who are battling to keep their extremely anti-choice laws on the books. It comes up with the expert witnesses. Unfortunately, these expert witnesses tend to be false witnesses. They've been caught lying to the court. They've been caught with their scholarship debunked or retracted, and their credentials are overblown or exaggerated. So basically what Rue does is he makes the big bucks by bringing in the big liars, and these are our experts who are testifying on behalf of the state. He is an anti-abortion extremist, opposing abortion even in the cases of rape and incest. And he said that women really don't understand their own decisions about abortion. He's also claimed that women in general feel regret about having an abortion, even though all the studies show that that is not true. In Texas, he did what he has done before, coached the expert witnesses, and basically put words into their mouth. Thanks to RH Reality Check and their revelation of these emails between Rue and the so-called expert witnesses, we now know exactly what he did to manipulate this case. We were able to see him working with what are supposed to be independent witnesses and putting words in their mouth and attempting to persuade them to selectively exclude data and basically ghostwriting what were supposed to be reports from independent experts. If you want to learn more, you should go to RH Reality Check and check out their false witnesses gallery, where kind of lay it all out of the people who are lying on a regular basis in court to support the denial of women's access to reproductive rights.